The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are joining you after our weekend in Vegas. We didn't the whole weekend. It was part of the weekend in Vegas. And we were there for Pac-12 Football Media Days. We have several interviews, including, but not limited to, Caleb Williams with Jordan Spurgeon. Caleb Williams could be an Arizona Cardinal next year, and Spurge talks to him about his potential landing spots and just the whole preparation for the NFL in the coming season. USC quarterback Caleb Williams, and then my deep dive with Kenny Dillingham. Kenny came by after we were off the air. We will have that for you. I think you'll find his comments to be very, very interesting. Jordan Hamm has some content as well. That is all straight ahead. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, through the years, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Vegas was productive. I have to say my travels, that I went on JSX, and they're not a partner here with us, but I went on JSX and out of Phoenix. I've never had pizza served to me on a delay. So Friday night, it was so hot in Vegas, planes couldn't take off because their brakes were overheating from what I've heard. And they were letting the planes cool down and cool off. I ran into Jed Fish while we were waiting. He had a flight going elsewhere and out of the same terminal. And we're just sitting there chatting just briefly, and then he made his way onto his plane. And I hear this over the head. We have pizza ordered for those of you that have been delayed. Like, I've never had that before. That was really cool. Just really cool on JSX's part. So I have to get that in there. As much as we travel through the fruited plains to do what we do here, we appreciate getting back and getting forward with what we do. At 6'8", I fit, and that was great. All right, that out of the way. The biggest takeaways from Pac-12 football media days, we sit here on Monday. Obviously, the conference and expansion, the trickle down off of Friday, we had Jaden Delora on, the quarterback for the University of Arizona, and what he was going through on a legal front. Couldn't discuss it. He discussed it later in the afternoon with the assembled media downstairs. And that was probably the storyline that garnered the most attention outside of my interview with Kenny Dillingham, which we'll bring you here shortly. And once you see the interview, you will understand why when it comes to name, image, likeness, and just some of his concerns about how it's going at Arizona State. So that is straight ahead. I watched a lot of the Diamondbacks over the weekend in Cincinnati. And, you know, you come off a 2-7 road trip. Feels like they've been gone forever, by the way, because you had the All-Star break and then you had this. They come home tonight. They meet St. Louis. They're spiraling. Corbin Carroll yesterday was asked by Jody Jackson on the postgame show about the slump. They left 11 runners on base yesterday. There were some pitches being swung at. I'm just like, wow. And the base running is atrocious. Christian Walker's turned back into Dave Kingman. And you can't have that. You can't have all or nothing. You can't have bad base running, run him out of an inning, and that happened yesterday. Not laying it all on his feet. It's fine. Corbin Carroll hit his 21st. It was a monster home run at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a good team. And the Diamondbacks are just not playing good baseball, right? I don't know if today is the day for a team meeting. I think you got to pick your spots. What I've seen through the years, when a team has a meeting, it usually is necessary before it's called, like a week in advance. This team didn't play great on this trip. And you get swept in two of the series. And yeah, you took two or three in Atlanta. They caught Atlanta when they were down. But they're just not getting it done at the plate. Their bullpen is just not getting it done. It's like there's not a facet of the team that you look at and say, wow, everything's going well. Now, Merrill Kelly may be back tomorrow night in the starting rotation. But they're in the playoff race. That's what you want. You want to have days like this where everybody's angry and angst, and then you win tonight, and it's, oh, wow, they're heading in the right direction. Meantime, St. Louis comes in here. They've been probably the biggest disappointment in baseball outside of the Yankees and the Padres. There are some players on the Cardinals roster that I look at and say that they wouldn't look bad in a Diamondbacks uniform. The trade deadline is next week. So there's just a lot swirling around this team. And how long do you wait? How long do you go without saying we've got to dip down into the system and trade one of our top prospects versus, like, Baltimore, I think, is in the same place as the Diamondbacks. Baltimore's had a terrific season. They have been. How aggressive can you be if you're the Diamondbacks or a team like the Orioles, where you start shelling out your farm system to win now versus, man, we got rid of this player way too early. It's a balance. It's a balance for them. I don't want to see Jordan Lawler go, okay? I don't want to see Jones Jr. I don't want to see, like, I think Tommy Henry, teams are probably wanting Tommy Henry. Tommy Henry's been really good. And, you know, you're not going to trade Zach Davies and get a closer. That's not happening, especially now he's on the IL. You've got to give up young, quality starter. Ryan Nelson's going to go again tonight. So it can't just be Zach Gallen and hope for the next 4 days. And that's what it's been for about the last 5 weeks. You get Merrill Kelly back, you add a starting rotation guy, all of a sudden, all right, you put Tommy Henry on the back end, there's four. Maybe Nelson's your fifth guy. But if you subtract one of your good young arms and all of a sudden you open up another hole, that's a problem. That's just a problem, and I'm not willing to go down that path. This is the start of football week. The Cardinals open camp, and the only intrigue around the Cardinals is, will they have the number one pick and the number two pick? Anything else, and this isn't to rain on, if you're a Cardinal fan, knock yourself out. You're going to be able to talk all year long about, is Kyler Murray going to have his season, and what about this player and that one? All that stuff's fine, but I think all of us know that this is going to be a long year. Anything, if they win 4 or 5 games, I think it'd be a major accomplishment for them. Might screw up their overall draft status with Caleb Williams, who you'll hear from on today's show. Watch some of the Open. Brian Harman gets the win. And very much looking forward to Wednesday this week, USA against the Netherlands. I'm a World Cup fan. I'm a women's soccer fan. Two daughters that played, wife coached. We are a soccer household. Did play-by-play of Phoenix Rising when they were Arizona United. I wasn't very good at it, but I did it. They needed a voice when they started. I said, hey, I'm all in. Soccer's not my strength, but as a play-by-play guy. But I enjoy doing it. I do whatever I can to help out what's going on in soccer. USA Women against the Netherlands, and that'll be Wednesday night at 6. On the other side, Kenny Dillingham and I we'll chop it up. This is from Friday at Pac-12. We usually don't bring back tape stuff, but I feel like this show has got a lot of good content in it that you need to see from Friday we couldn't get on the board. That's next. Kenny Dillingham with us for a couple of minutes. First-year head coach at Arizona State. It is Pac-12 Football Media Days. It is good to see you once again. You look sharp. You look slick. You have like a professional... I mean, I don't. You do. Do you have somebody professionally dress you now?
Yeah, Bree Dillingham, my wife.
Take care of Bree. Take care of that. How has this first day been for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, just getting to talk to people and meet new faces.
Yeah. Have you found yourself being like asked the same stuff over and over and over and over?
Yes.
And what are the usual questions that you get? Thus, I won't ask them.
How's it going to be going versus Bo Nix next year? How does it feel being home? You know, ASU is the sleeping giant. Why is that? How do you wake up a sleeping giant? That's just pretty much on repeat.
What do you wish that they would ask you?
What do you want to see what do you want your players to get out of the program?
Okay. What do you want your players to get out of the program?
How to be successful in life.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that?
Just how to go about waking up every day, and even if their job is the most painful and the worst job in the world, finding a way to have joy through doing it and understanding that this thing we live in, this world we live in, is about people, it's about relationships, mm-hmm. and it's about the moments and the memories you create. And the greatest moments and memories you create are not just the good ones, but they're the lows and they're the bad ones that you get to look back on and say, look what I overcame. And it's just them understanding that as they get into the real world.
Okay. What else would you like to be asked? You haven't been asked today.
I don't really know, to be honest.
Really?
If I'm the best chess player on the team, and
are you the best chess player on the team?
I am.
Okay. So. Are you going to go play pickleball and all this stuff later?
I don't know if I can in a suit.
Yeah. Well, players have been trying. It's not been a good look.
Jordan Clark.
Oh, there
you, that's embarrassing for him.
Yeah. Yeah. On a serious note, let's talk positions because fans want meat and potatoes. Quarterback. Where are you at today? Who's opening the season? These are things that are being thrown at me. Who's the starter going to be? And I say, they're going to say something like, the week before the game, we'll figure it out. We may alternate. That's usually how it works. You may not.
Yep.
Is that a fair answer?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to name a starter today, but I don't know who it is. Right? So when a starter, shows himself, when a starter is clear, like, dang, this dude is playing better than everybody else, we'll announce him. I don't care if that's a week into camp. I don't care if that's 2 weeks. I don't care if that's 3 weeks. But we will know the starter going into week one. The week of week one we prepare, if nobody separated themselves, then myself and the staff will have to sit down and have a conversation on who gives the best chance to win, and we will name one. It won't be a surprise on who runs out the tunnel and, mm-hmm. and gets under center in the gun nowadays.
In the gun, right, right. You sound a little bit like Commissioner Kliavkov with his media rights deal today. I wish I could give you an answer, but today I'm not, and so I think there's some parallels there. Other positions that you look at and you say, same approach.
Same approach. I would say linebacker, same approach. Wide receiver, same approach. Running back, same approach. I mean, most positions, to be honest.
They're still open.
Everything's open. There's a few guys who have established themselves that would be hard to knock off their position, but I would say 75-80% of the positions out there are up for the taking.
Yeah. I'd say tight end is pretty well figured out.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen's definitely going to run out there first when we go any sort of tight end personnel. There's no doubt about that.
I'd say in your secondary, you got a spot or two pretty well figured out.
We got a spot or two figured out.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But there's still some other spots that we've added some new blood in there, and we'll see how they do with pads on, not just shorts and a T-shirt.
Fans will say, well, there's a log jam at wide receiver. Is there a log jam at wide receiver?
Yeah,
there's separation.
We have a lot of good wide receivers, and that's a good thing because that means you can play guys fresh,
mm-hmm.
right? And I talk about it all the time, is you don't want to play this game tired. Just like if you don't have a two deep of D-line, right, really that means you don't have a starting group because you have to have two deeps of certain positions. I think wide receiver is one of those positions. The deeper you are, right, the bigger strength that matters in the fourth quarter because you guys have fresh legs versus defenders who have tired legs.
Here's a question that could end up being transfer portal fodder because the player that isn't getting enough attention that you feel like should get enough attention, and then there's going to be like 50 players' parents watching this saying, well, he didn't mention my kid. So can I even ask you that question, or is that not a fair question?
I mean, I'm not too concerned.
Yeah,
to be
you
honest.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's just for us, every kid that I meet with understand that they're going to know exactly where they stand in the program. There is not gray area. I come in, I tell you exactly what it looks like. Are you competing or are you not? We don't see you right now as competing. You got to change. You got to come back and be a different person in order to compete for a job. Stay here great, leave great. That's up to you. Mm-hmm. I would just want you to know exactly what our assessment of you is after spring ball, after fall camp. And our guys will always hear the truth. So there shouldn't be as much, I would say, drama because there is no gray area. We're going to tell you exactly what it is, whether that hurts us or helps us. I believe culturally, at the end of the day, if you're honest to people, everybody wins.
Kenny Dillingham with us, a player that has responded to that charge. Do you have a player that's like, I had to get into him. I had to be knee deep with him, and he's really come a long ways.
I'd say BJ Green. I mean, when I got here, I told him, like, hey. And I told him in after spring ball in our exit meetings, I'm like, hey, you shocked me. I said, I didn't think you were this good. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I didn't think you were as good as you are when I saw you in person. And he was like, man, that talk about honesty.
Yeah.
Right? But it's true. I mean, that was a guy who I thought was a good player, and he's really, really taken steps and worked and proven that he's better than I thought he was. And that's just one example. There's a few.
Sure. What I found interesting up here in the last, I don't know, a few hours is people coming by me and saying, do you think Kenny Dillingham's going to get it done at ASU? How's Kenny Dillingham going to be his head coach? And my response is, because I've seen this for 30-plus years, I don't know.
No doubt.
I think you're going to do it, but what is doing it? like the program last year didn't win many games. So if doubling the win total is a measurement, but they didn't win much last year, is there improvement? So I'm looking at it saying, I think you're going to get it done. Do you know for sure you're going to get it done? Because there are those, you can say as a coach, of course I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
Do you have any doubt?
I think winning in college football is a collective effort. It's players, coaches, community. And so many people, so many times people forget about the community part. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, well, I'm only going to show up when I have this product that's worthy of me being there. The issue is college athletics is unique. You recruit players. In order to get those top players to create a product people want to see, you have to be able to show an environment those players want to be in. Mm-hmm. So I would answer that question is, do I believe in myself and our staff's ability? Do I believe in the potential of the Valley? And if all three of those people come together and are all in, united, I think we'll have more success than people, you know, kind of the sleeping giant. If fans, players, coaches, all come together. But that's hard to do.
I think the whole sleeping giant thing is kind of nonsense to me.
Yeah, I agree.
30 years of hearing this sleeping giant stuff, it's a different market. We talked about this.
100%.
We talked about this. Like, there's a lot going on. So, sleeping, no, the program's out there. It's just we have a new voice, a new face, a new direction, a sense of energy, enthusiasm. And it's a different game now. Well, I have fans that ask me more about how's Kenny Dillingham on NIL. Kenny Dillingham can't go do NIL, just so we're really clear about that. You know, just so we're really clear about that.
But you can.
Yeah, right. But I think your lens is different on that topic than I think a lot of other coaches. Just younger guys, seen it, not that far removed, kind of makes sense. So how is that, if I'm asking you, because fans ask me, what's coach's view of NIL and how it's going at ASU?
Yeah, I support it. How it's going at ASU, to be honest, not very good. We're probably the bottom third in our league, bottom fourth in our league. We got a school down south that's probably 3 to 4 times us.
Mm.
And that's just the reality and that's the facts. And you asked the question before, can we get it done? I mean, that's a group question. Can we get this done? And if we get this done, it can reach heights that people, you know, want it and believe it can achieve. But this is a we thing more than it's ever been because of NIL. And it's great for the players. Like I said the other day in my press conference, I hope our players make more money than anybody in the country, but I can't do anything about it. It's got to be the community. It's got to be the people. It's got to be the Valley.
It's not an evil.
Not an evil.
Transfer portal. Not an evil.
Transfer portal is bittersweet. For some kids, it's really great because it protects kids from lying. It also hurts some kids when, you know, they get pushed out of a program. So it's bittersweet. But I think the intentions of it, which is to protect the player, I think all these rules were to help the players, is correct. Any rule that helps players in any way, shape, or form, I'm for.
What haven't I asked you today? What do you wish you would be asked today that you haven't been asked yet, Kenny? I'm going to go back the way we started this interview.
I don't know.
Have I left
Who's
anything
Who's my
out?
Favorite 6'6 bald guy?
That would be me.
That would be, yes, exactly.
But I'm 6'8.
6'8, my bad.
Kenny Dillingham, doing it here at Pac-12 Media Day. Thanks.
Sports 360 AZ here at Pac-12 Media Day, joined by Arizona defensive back Traydon Stukes. And Traydon, you know, your role has continued to grow and grow each and every year within this Wildcat defense. You know, just what's the journey been like so far in Tucson for you?
I mean, it's been fun. Like, I really have no complaints. You know, I wanted to be the type of player that can, that a team can count on to, you know, be a solid player every week in and week out. So, you know, getting to take each step every year, you know, further into being a leader and, you know, coming in like, yeah, I mean, it really just like, yeah, it's been fun. It's been really nice for me.
And the spring kind of starting to transition to nickel, you know, show some of that versatility. What's that transition been like?
It was a little learning curve at first. It's a little bit different, obviously, being inside. You know, you're involved in the run a little bit. You're covering slots instead of outside receivers. So, But it's been a blast, you know. Learning a new position this late in my career has been pretty fun. And, you know, I actually enjoy making tackles, so getting a chance to make a little more tackles, that's pretty fun to me, too.
And now you're a local guy, you know, played at Millennium. How did that team, that community, help shape who you are and get you prepared for college football?
Yeah, I got a lot of love for my high school coaches, for sure. Like, I still keep in touch with them. I'm always texting them. My little cousin goes there now, too, so, heck, he's always telling me about him. Yeah, I mean, they helped me a lot. You know, he helped me with recruiting, for sure. Lamar helped me with recruiting a lot. Coach Hightower was my DB coach. He taught me a lot. I mean, he really taught me how to be tough, you know. Like, not be one of them, you know, corners that don't want to make tackles, right, and stuff. So, yeah, I can't thank them enough for what they did for me when I was a young man.
Yeah, yeah. I know that Coach Early, you know, one of his rallying cries is always embrace the suck.
Yeah.
How has embracing the suck helped you get to where you are right now?
I mean, yeah, that's been one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten, because, you know, it's a lot. You know, you do a lot of stuff as a student athlete. There's a lot of practices, a lot of workouts. So, you know, just, you know, living in the moment and knowing that it's all for the greater good at the end of the day, just embracing that, the stuff that's tough, and getting to the stuff that's good has always been, you know, something that's helped me get through everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, I know no matter what the in-state school is, you know, to Arizona high school football fans, they don't recruit the state of Arizona enough.
Right.
You're a local guy. You're seeing what U of A is now doing recruiting locally and the victories they're having on that path. What can you, you know, point to that Coach Fish and this coaching staff has been so effective in recruiting Arizona?
Yeah, Coach Fish is definitely one of the best recruiters I've ever seen, like, since I've been in college, for sure. I think he's just real with guys, like, because we really do have, like, a family-oriented program, and I think he's able to sell that to high schoolers coming in. And obviously, like, we've been taking steps forward ever since he got here, so, you know, it's an easy sell in that form, you know. So, yeah, I think he's done a fantastic job, and I'm loving that my home state's getting a little more love, so.
And your first year in Tucson, that was the pandemic season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, fall 2020 is when I got there.
What was that transition like? Like, college is a big transition, as is.
Right.
But then to be, you know, so sequestered from the rest of campus and having, you know, empty stadiums, what was that like?
It was very weird. I mean, like, yeah, my freshman year experience was very different than the normal college freshman. We were in separate dorms. I didn't meet half the team until we basically started that little COVID season. So, I mean, it was hard, you know, especially, you know, I'm a big family guy, so being away from my family like that and then being isolated, so I really can't even, you know, go out and learn about the city and stuff. Nobody was even there, so it was weird, but, you know, we got out of it.
Yeah.
We made it through.
What do you take from that can help you now? Or how did it make you grow?
Yeah, I mean, it forced me to grow up fast, you know. Being by myself, like, I couldn't really lean on, like, my teammates as much as I could have if, you know, everything was normal. So I just, you know, forced me to be an adult pretty quick. That's pretty much, yeah. Pretty much all the benefits from that.
Yeah, yeah.
That COVID.
Some silver linings here.
Yeah.
With this defense, you know, I know, you know, the changes that they've tried to make this offseason and, you know, that sort of thing. What, if you were to describe this defense, or what do you think it's going to look like in 2023, in a couple of words, how would you describe what they'll look like?
I think we want to be a high energy, you know, a swarm to the ball type of defense. We want people to look at our tape and be like, okay, they're not taking plays off. Like, they're gonna come at us every play, and we're gonna have to be ready for it.
Any players on the defense that aren't getting talked about right now that once the season hits, fans are gonna know real quick?
Ah, I mean, who are we talking about right now?
I mean, who do you feel like is an underrated, underappreciated player on the defense that you feel like once they step on the field, like their impact is going to be felt really quickly?
Okay, yeah. I got a little bias in this one, but I want to say Gunnar Maldonado. You know,
he's
one of my
guy. Yeah.
One of my good friends, like, so far since I've been in college. And, yeah, he's playing some safety now, and I think he's got the potential to have a fantastic season this year, for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a fun secondary with all you guys flying around.
Yeah, it should be.
Thank you so much, Trayden. Good luck this year. Looking forward to seeing the Wildcats this fall.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Here with the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, USC quarterback. You hear that? I want to start there. Mm-hmm. USC obviously has a big pantheon of quarterbacks over the years. What is it that makes you so different from guys in the past?
That's a good question. What makes me so different? Honestly, the only thing I can say that makes me so different is, one, the years of and how much football's changed, and then two, I'd say I run a little bit more than all of them did.
Okay.
So I'd say those two things.
I got to ask this because obviously your top priority right now is this season,
yeah,
taking it day by day. But even for someone like me, if I see a cool opportunity around the corner, you know, I might be sitting there at night staring at the ceiling fan. For you, it's the NFL draft potentially next year.
Yep.
Like, there's conversations of where you're going to stand,
yep,
things like that. Is that something that you ever kind of catch yourself wondering, like, what that step's going to be like? Are you kind of daydreaming about it, or is
I ask questions to people that I meet. I mean, I'm not there, and I know I'm not there. I have a certain understanding of that, and I know I won't be there for whoever knows how long, but I also do want insight because I also understand that I can only be in college for around 4 years. And so I have a new coach, at Cliff Kingsbury, that just came from the Cardinals and things like that. He's done at the highest level, head coach, offense coordinator, coaching Kyler, explosive player, things like that. You know, I don't feel a pressure. I don't feel anything like that because I've been working super hard to reach this moment,
yeah,
to be in this position. It's on my home screen. I've dreamed of it. I've thought of it. You know, things that people may not believe I manifest, I all of that to try and reach these goals that I want to reach, because I set my goals super high, well before I even am close to reaching them,
yeah,
maybe years in advance, and so, you know, it's no surprise to me that I'm in this moment because I've been dreaming, I've been working hard towards it for many, many years.
The word manifesting, I'm in a space where I do different podcast things talking about mental health in sports and just the way, you know, different mindsets come. Do you have someone that's kind of taught you that stuff? Have you kind of been that way where you vision things and like it just sort of works out? Like, what's your mindset like with stuff like that?
I'd say my dad, because my dad's in business and real estate, and with real estate you have to envision things before it happens, and he's been successful and done a good job with it, and so I think it like unconsciously just comes from him and watching him and how he, you know, how he talks about things, how he does business and runs his business. So I think it honestly comes from that side of it. And so now I've taken it in my own path of football, and I envision things and put together a plan and things like that. And at the end of it, you know, put together the plan, you envision it, and you make things happen.